Thank you for that singing this morning. I pray it is well with your soul. Today we're going to look at theme 4 in the book of Proverbs. We've been working our way through here. They're both up. Look at that. Thank you, Clarence. Again, we've used as a springboard this key verse here in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. As we begin to look at these themes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Hopefully, by the time we're done with these themes, we have this verse memorized here. But the knowledge of God, understanding who God is, understanding what God is like, and the more we understand that, and we live that out, we make our Father glad. Again, just a quick, and I'll go through this probably every week, but a son who fears the Lord has a reverence for God. He has a high respect for God based on a relationship with God expressed through submission to God. And why is that? It's to bring glory to God. We need to understand who God is. We need to know what God hates, what God loves, and when our life agrees with that, when we live that out, we make our Father glad. And so this morning, as we continue on, as we've looked at these themes, we've looked at the sovereignty of God, we've looked at pride, we've looked at laziness, and today I want to look at the topic of anger in Proverbs. And so let's pray. It's going to take me a while to get to Proverbs. I want to lay some groundwork here on anger first, and then we'll jump in. So Lord, thank you again for the time to gather together to worship you. Lord, as we, even this last song, it is well with my soul, and stop and think of what's going on in the world. The attempted assassination of a former president, the gay agenda, trials of life, and we can get upset. And as we see today, not all anger is sin, and yet oftentimes our response, our reaction to different circumstances in life can be sin. So Lord, I pray that we'd glean these truths today, that we would apply them to our lives. I pray that we would view anger the way you do, and that we would strive to live out our lives in a way that would honor you and glorify you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, I want to start out here today with a definition of anger, and I'm going to go through a few things before I really get to that definition of anger. But most people view anger as a bad thing, and you see somebody, oh, he's an angry person, and you view that as a bad thing. But not all anger is bad. But there are six different common behaviors in the spectrum of bad anger. So six behaviors in the spectrum of bad anger: irritability. Now, I think there's probably days maybe where all of us are irritable at something, but that lifestyle, that some people are just irritable people, and they're irritable all the time. This is anger on a hair trigger, someone who is easily upset, someone who is easily set off, and they're irritable. And I know we have days where we might be irritable, but are you an irritable person, generally speaking? And so that's one spectrum in bad anger. Another one could be argumentative. Someone who's disagreeable, and they love an argument. They like to argue. It doesn't matter. I think some people just will take the other side, even if they agree with it or not, because they're argumentative. That's just one of the spectrums of bad anger. They're argumentative. Or bitterness. Someone who's bitter. They recycle these old hurts. They nurse grievances. They hold on to grudges. This person is a scorekeeper. And you wrong them, and they remember it. They put it in the memory bank. They don't forget about it. And it's there. You know it. They know it. And they're bitter people. Of course, and this is where most people, when they think of anger, they think of this one: violence. Someone who's violent. And they're destructive. And they punch holes in sheetrock. They rip doors off of hinges. And they are this just sheer destructive behavior. And when you think of anger, that's probably what you think of, right? Someone who's just destructive. And they go off, and they're like a volcano. They just erupt. But how about passive anger? Passive anger is, it really hides under or behind the surface appearance and even beneath the conscious awareness. I mean, people with passive anger, you might not even, they don't think they're angry. And you might not even recognize it in them because it's hidden. They claim not to be angry, but the side effects of this are usually, I mean, there's depression, they're lethargic, they're pessimistic, they isolate. And so that's another part of the spectrum of bad anger or self-righteous anger. Self-righteous anger enjoys the empowering sense of grievance. They're always a victim. And they just, things happen to them, and everybody's against them. Circumstances are always bad. They're always, nothing good happens to me. I don't deserve all these bad things. And so they portray themselves as a victim. And they love to express it to people. All these bad things that happen to them. So these are different spectrums of bad behavior as we continue to look towards the definition here. A common thread of anger, both good and bad anger. What's a common thread? What makes you angry? It's something that I'm against. I see something, I perceive something, and I'm against it. If I wasn't against it, it wouldn't make me angry, right? I don't like it when the Packers win. I get angry. Who said that? Oh, another pack. That's your brother, right, Lynette? I was going to welcome you to Deer River Bible Church, but no, I'm glad you're here. But a common thread of both good and bad anger is I'm against something. I see something, and I don't like it. I'm against it. And that leads to active displeasure, disapproval towards something that's important enough to care about, the Packers losing. But I see it. I'm against it. This brings me displeasure, and it's important enough to do something about it. It's important enough to care about, which then in turn, so I identify a perceived wrong. You see something and I say, this is wrong. How many have seen anything this week and said, this is wrong? See anything? All of us have. We see something we perceive as wrong. I take a stance of disapproval. Okay, we're seeing. I want to point out here that we're all angry people. We've identified a perceived wrong. I've taken a stance of disapproval, and I move to action. Okay, I'm going to take action against this wrong. Okay, and so this is a common thread of both good and bad anger. And in this last point, I move to action. And here is where anger, for a good reason, can turn into sin. Because I can be angry at the right thing, but respond in the wrong way. Would you agree with that statement? We can be angry at the right thing, good anger, but the action that I take can be sinful action. And so this is where anger, good anger, can turn bad right here. The universality of anger, and that's what I just pointed out, is we are all angry. We're angry. Makes you mad when I say that, doesn't it? You're taking a stance against that. You don't like it. But the point is we're all angry. There's probably very few days that we do not perceive something wrong. There's very few days that go by that I don't perceive that, hey, this is wrong. Turn on the news, you perceive something wrong. Look around you, you perceive things that are wrong. There's very few days that I do not perceive something is wrong. And I take a stance and I move to action. There's probably very few weeks go by that my action, some action that I take and it perceived wrong is not a wrong action. And that's called sin. And so, are there things that you perceive as wrong? Do you take a stance of disapproval? Let me go back to that first question. Are there things that you perceive as wrong? Yes? Do you take a stance of disapproval? We do. And so we then, are you ever moved to action or reaction? So the universality of anger is we are all what? There's some of you agree with me. We're all angry, right? We're all angry. And Proverbs, that went too far. Proverbs doesn't ask if you're angry. It assumes it. Proverbs doesn't say, hey, you mad, bro? Are you angry? It just assumes it. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19 verse 11 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. It doesn't say the discretion of a man makes him not angry. It assumes that that people are angry. There's the discretion, the wisdom of a man makes him slow to anger. And his glory is to overlook a transgression. So he wants to overlook a transgression. His desire is to not be angry. But his discretion, his wisdom, makes him slow to anger. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So being slow to anger, again, Proverbs just assumes you're angry. And by the way, I forgot to mention this, but the word anger appears 8 times in Proverbs. Angry appears 4 times, and the word wrath appears 17 times. So Proverbs has a lot to say about both divine wrath, okay, God's anger, and human anger. And so we see that Proverbs just assumes that we're angry. And you can sit and argue with that. You can say, I don't have an anger problem. But we do. We all experience anger in some way. So you can argue with that. But what are some faces of anger? What does, and maybe this will help you see that you have an anger problem. The volcano. I mentioned this, but this person, he blows up. And he criticizes, and it's easy to see this person. It's easy to see anger in this person. He is quick to point out, we're quick to point out that this guy is angry. We were setting up the booth on Wednesday for the Wild Rice Festival. And we're just about done setting this up. A guy's walking down the sidewalk. He has 2 bags of groceries. And I hear this shatter noise. And I look over. The bag ripped. And he punted that bag, and anything that wasn't broken now was broken. And he said some words I won't repeat. And I think I turned to Lynette and I said, the message on Sunday's on anger. I didn't have to ask him if he was mad. I knew it. He is a volcano. He just erupted. That bag tore, and he perceived a wrong. What did he perceive as wrong? Maybe whoever made this bag is cheap. The guy should have double bagged it. What's the matter with that guy? Or how did I drop this? And he, whatever it was, whatever the perceived wrong was, he was mad. And he took a stance against it, and he took action. He kicked whatever was left in that. It's easy to see this volcano guy. And our response to this, man, what's wrong with this guy? He's angry. He's got an anger problem. We see that. It's easy to see. But how about this guy, the clam? We see the volcano guy. He's easy to see, but how about the clam guy or girl? People come in for counseling, and I ask them, are you the volcano or the clam? And it's interesting because in every marriage, it seems, almost every marriage, one will say, I'm the volcano. The other says, I'm the clam. Clams and volcanoes live together. But the clam guy, he's silent treatment. Sees a perceived wrong, he's mad. He's mad at it. Gives a silent treatment. What's wrong? Nothing. Something wrong? No. It doesn't talk to you. Pouts, self-pity, manipulation. Is this person angry? Yes. This person's angry. But they say, I'm hurt. I'm just hurt. No, you're mad. You're angry. And this anger is expressed not only, in what comes out, but what doesn't come out. And this person thinks that they're not angry. They think they're spiritual because they're slow to speak, but they're not going to talk to you at all. They're mad. They're angry, and they're going to give you the silent treatment. They perceive a wrong. They take a stance of disapproval. They let you know by not speaking to you. And this person has just as much of an anger problem as the volcano guy. But how about the iceberg guy? I almost went with an animal and called him a penguin. But this iceberg guy, and this guy, he or she seems calm. You slash his tires, and he could sit there, and it's okay. You talk to him, he'll still talk to you. And somebody says, are you mad? He says, no, I'm not mad, I just get even. Is he mad? He's looking for revenge. He's angry. And the reality is they're mad and they're looking for revenge, and there's gossip, there's slander, there's lying, there's a critical spirit. Look at Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Okay, this man seems like maybe he's just pondering how to answer, but really he's pondering how to get back at you. And now let's go to Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now look at this. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ's sake has forgiven you. But if you look at this, what is bitterness? It's refusing to treat someone as if they've never wronged you. That's anger. Okay, that defines anger. What is wrath? That's flaring outbursts. That's the volcano. Anger, the slow burn, looking for revenge. Clamor is harsh public contention. Slander is abusive speech. Malice is the desire to harm or make suffer. So even the iceberg guy, I don't get mad, I get revenge. And he wants you to suffer. This is anger. These are all faces of anger. But not all anger is sin. Does God get angry? Romans 1, the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Was Jesus ever angry? Was he angry when he went into the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers? And so not all anger is sin. And Proverbs assumes we all are angry. But we need to understand that not all anger is sin, because there's two types of anger. There's God-centered anger. And God-centered anger is a strong, unselfish displeasure at wrong. It's a strong, unselfish displeasure at wrong. The plagues on Egypt, they enslaved the Israelites. God poured out plagues on the Egyptians. You think of the destruction of the Canaanites, the child sacrificing Canaanites. God's wrath. As I mentioned, Jesus overturning the tables in the temple. But here's what we can't miss, is God's wrath is always motivated by love and mercy. That's God-centered wrath. As I said in Romans 1, the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Was there a time in your life that you were under God's wrath? Was there? Before you put your faith in Christ? But what did God do for you? What does Romans 5:8 say? God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's wrath, but we see God's love and God's mercy. And so, you look at this displeasure. It wants to see justice, wants to see truth, wants to see liberty. It wants to see people who are oppressed by injustice and falsehood and slavery. It wants to see them brought out. And the only way God's wrath could be avoided was he sent his son to die for you, pay the penalty for your sin. And so we see God-centered anger. But how about me-centered anger? What does me-centered anger look like? You know, last Sunday, we looked at laziness in Proverbs, and my mind was already engaged and ready, thinking about anger. And when it seems like there's certain passages that I or topics that I preach on, God says, I'll give you an opportunity to live that out. And so things happened this week and that I perceived wrong. And I took a stance. And so God gave me opportunities this week. And there's things that I had reason to be, I had a right reason to be angry and take a stance, but my response wasn't always correct. Well, what happens is, you know, these things come up, and in a human response, me-centered anger says, people are in my way. Whatever you're doing, it's interfering with my agenda and my plans. That's me-centered anger. People are in my way. People haven't followed my sovereign rule. I said I wanted this done, and it didn't happen. And people have not submitted to my kingdom. Now, we don't say that, but that's what's happening, right? People aren't doing what I want. That's what happens in my me-centered anger. And God's given me opportunities. I was preaching on anger. I thought maybe the next topic is how to handle your riches. Maybe God will give me an opportunity to try that. But some of those perceived wrongs I faced were truly wrongs. Others weren't. There are times in my response, it was sin. It was me-centered anger. People are in my way. They haven't followed my sovereign rule. They haven't submitted to my kingdom. And so here's the big question. Oh, it irritates me. I have to destroy it. I have to destroy this problem. But here's some questions. What's the reason for your anger? What are you mad at? What makes you angry? Apparently, yesterday, a 20-year-old man didn't like what Donald Trump stood for. He's angry. Tried to eliminate him. What are you angry at? What are you mad at? Is it God-centered, other-centered anger, or is it me-centered? What happened? Oh, there it comes. Okay, so what's the reason for my anger? Give you a little personal illustration here. I said God gave me opportunity. So we had, this week I came home from the office. We had 11 grandkids at our house. That's great. I love my grandkids. They're all there. They're at our house. But you know what's interesting? I don't know why this is, but my grandkids, they ride a bike, and I think maybe some of their bikes don't have kickstands, but they pedal and they get off, and whew, and where the bike lands, they leave it lay, which generally is in the middle of the driveway. That makes me angry. I don't like that. And I think I have a good reason to not like that. For one, we have renters coming in and out of the driveway. They shouldn't have to drive around those bikes. We have delivery trucks coming in and out. They shouldn't have to drive around those bikes. I shouldn't have to drive around those bikes. And it's just, they need to learn to pick stuff up. So I'm upset. These kids are leaving bikes in the driveway all over the place. I'm like, I was getting ready to leave. It was hot out, and my nephew wanted to go fishing. I wasn't really wanting to fish, believe that or not. I'm trying to get out the driveway, and there's bikes in the road. I'm like, get that bike out of the road. I was upset for the right reason, but here's what started to go wrong. They're messing up my kingdom and my sovereign rule. And I thought of running the bike over, but I didn't. I didn't do that. And I thought of grabbing him by the ear. I actually yelled to, I knew which kid left that particular bike, and I yelled to him, but he couldn't hear me. They're too busy playing in that pool. But I thought of grabbing him by the ear to lead him. Now, pick the bike up. I didn't. But my attitude was wrong. And so anger for a good reason turned bad. It became me-centered anger. People are in my way, in this case, a bike. People haven't followed my sovereign rule. People haven't submitted to my kingdom, and it irritates me. I must destroy it. I wasn't going to destroy my grandkid. But I could have done some destruction, right? And so what is the reason for your anger? I hate having to use myself for illustrations. But I saw wrong, I took a stance, I was moved to action. Wrong action. My attitude wasn't right. What's the object of your wrath? Is my anger sin? Is it God-centered or me-centered? Is your anger focused on destroying a person or a problem? Look at Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. Our tongues can be like swords. It can be like the thrust of a sword. What are some types of swords? Name calling, character attacks. You always do this, you never do that. You moron. You. Our tongues become swords. Proverbs 12:18, there's one who speaks. We can speak that way. And why do we speak that way? Because we're angry. And it's me-centered anger. Is your anger coupled with love? Look at Romans chapter 12. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so, is your anger focused on destroying a person or a problem? Is your anger coupled with love? Jesus abhorred what was wrong, yet he died for us, paid the penalty for our sin. Am I slow to anger? Go back to Proverbs 19:11 again. We've read this already, but it says, the discretion of a man, the wisdom of a man, makes him slow to anger. And his glory is to overlook a transgression. Wisdom. Where do we need to gain our wisdom from? Right here. I need to know what God loves, what God hates, how God responds, how God wants me to respond. Being slow to anger. At times, that's covering the offense. For time's sake, just a couple references. We've already looked at Proverbs 12:18, but Proverbs 16:32. Being slow to anger, so discretion will make me slow to anger. Being slow to anger will allay or it will put to rest contention. Proverbs 15, verse 18. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention. He puts it to rest. So again, Proverbs assumes you're angry, but be slow to anger. James 1:19, I won't take the time to go back there just due to the sake of time. Am I angry at the right things for the right reason? Am I responding in the right way? And so, just the challenge today is to take action. Recognize your tendency and destroy it. What is your tendency? Couples come in for counseling, we sit across the table, I say, what's your tendency? You clam up or blow up? Almost everyone I've talked to fits in one of those two categories. My tendency, they'll say, is this, I clam up, or my tendency is I blow up. What's your tendency? You clam up or you blow up? Or are you the iceberg? I don't get mad, I get even. What's your tendency? And recognize your tendency and destroy it. And then be careful of alliances. Look at Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. Here's the reason why. Verse 25, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Be careful of your alliances. Don't make friends with an angry man. Don't go with a furious man. Why? Because you may learn his ways. You may become an angry person. You might start blowing up or clamming up. And so we need to be careful about alliances. Be careful. Reactions to anger can be contagious. Oftentimes, how we respond to anger might be the way our parents responded to anger. And if you see somebody, and the nut doesn't come loose, so they just grab a bigger hammer, that might become your theory. Something doesn't work, get a bigger hammer, and that carries over into all of life, not just the lug nut. And so be careful of associations. People with unrighteous anger can be destructive. Proverbs 21, 19. Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. I was wondering why the men's retreat in Canada grew so much this year. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm in trouble. People are angry. I'm kidding. But I mean, angry people can be destructive, right? And they can destroy not just things, but people. Words can be destructive. And how many... You ever see a parent just in public, just verbally abusing their kids? And you know, you could go to a grocery store and you see a mom pushing a cart down the aisle and little Johnny, I want a candy bar. Nope, we're not getting a candy bar. I want a candy bar. And he throws himself in the aisle and now he's throwing a fit. Does she have a right to be angry? Should she be angry at that behavior? Yeah. Little Johnny's got an anger issue going on, and his anger is me-centered. But what often happens, and you see this, is all of a sudden she is just furious. You knock it off, or I'll leave you in the parking lot. I don't want to see your face again. And now she's me-centered anger, and it's abusive, it's destructive, and that little kid is just, what is happening to him? Anger is destructive. So be careful about who you hang around with. If you have an alliance with a me-centered angry man and you're in danger of learning his ways, becoming like him, and this unrighteous anger is destructive. And unrighteous anger, let me remind you, isn't just the volcano guy. It's also the clam guy. That's destructive. The iceberg guy, that's destructive. So what? The application here this morning. We are all angry. We're all angry. We all have a... We all see, perceive wrong. And that's the other thing. We perceive something wrong. Does that mean it's wrong just because we perceive it? Sometimes our perception isn't reality. But we perceive, we all perceive wrongs. We see something that we perceive is wrong. We take a stance. It moves us to action. We are all angry. But I have to ask the question today, is your anger sin? Is the way what I'm angry at, the object of my wrath, and how I respond, is it sin? Because even my right, even if I'm angry at the right thing, my response can be wrong, correct? So I have to run that through this grid as well. We're all angry. Is your anger sin? Is your anger me-centered or God-centered? Are you slow to anger? Proverbs assumes you're angry, but it says be slow to anger. Be angry at the right things at the right time and in the right way. We all deal with anger. We all perceive wrongs. But let's really ask God to search our hearts if our anger is me-centered or God-centered. I'm going to continue to tell my grandkids to keep the bike out of the driveway. But how do we respond to it? Am I destroying a person or a problem? Am I being slow to anger? Or is it about my sovereign rule and my kingdom? Make sure my anger is God-centered. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this topic, this subject. Very convicting to me this week. And so I thank you for your word that guides us through this topic, this subject. Help us to be slow to anger. Help us to be angry at the right things. Lord, there are a lot of things that are wrong around us. And we should be angry at this. It should cause displeasure and move us to action. But Lord, may our response be, may it line up with your will and your way. May we use that anger to not destroy people, but to destroy problems so that you'd be exalted. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.